Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio, and YouTube, and Facebook, and anywhere else you might see this. And may people spread it everywhere. Good to have you with us tonight. It is 19 July 2023, and we're making this video, and we're in an amazing study. Come and be with us. We're in an amazing study, and hold on. You're welcome to come and be with us. All right.
Come on in.
We're in an amazing study about righteousness. You know, everybody understands sin because it's the very nature of our life. We're born into sin. But what we've got to understand after we're born is God paid the price for our righteousness through Jesus Christ. And now we got to get ourselves in the right understanding in a discipled, disciplined way of thinking about it so that we can function in righteousness and be above this sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price for us?
Lord.
And we don't have to live in sin. Isn't that awesome to hear? I think that's awesome. It makes me really happy. I think it should make you shout or something. That wasn't much of a shout, but you can try again if you want to. Everybody say good evening to my father-in-law, Lee Papple.
Hello, Lee. I'm glad you're
here. Hello, Lee.
Welcome. Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Totally missed you, Phyllis. There we go. Now, so we're going to kind of take up where we left off last night. And I have been so transformed by the righteousness of God that there's just no way that I can just continually sit and talk about sin because it doesn't have any effect on us. Once we've come to God, sin doesn't have any effect on us any longer. So we're going to keep doing this study and keep reading verses, but what's the Bible say about sin, but not before we read a bunch of verses about the righteousness of God, because he set us free. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, I want to talk to you again about a couple things before we get started. And they're very, very important current events that's going on right now. One of those is the movie that's out right now called The Sound of Freedom. It's of absolute importance that you go and see this movie. Every dollar we spend in the box office is going to really totally change and transform how the effect of the Underground Railroad that Tim Ballard is in charge of, how that they can go and do work around the world. This movie, it's going to net them millions of dollars to make them be able to go and fight human trafficking around the world. And you and I, as American citizens, can get out, go to the theater, watch the movie, and then go to their website and support it, and be a blessing to the Underground Railroad. That's the name of the organization. Tim Ballard was so impressed with what's the name of the lady that runs the ran the Underground Railroad.
Oh my goodness!
It'll come to us, or we can find it. He was so impressed with her that he named this organization after hers, just in honor of what she did to help people that were caught in the slave industry. And of course, you know, the sex slave industry is the most vile there is, and yet it's huge. I was listening to an interview with him, and somebody said, you know, you make these statements about it, but kind of compare it somehow so we can get an understanding of just how large this industry is for sex trafficking. And do you know what he said? He said, the airline industry, of all the airlines in the United States of America, is X number of billions of dollars. This human sex trafficking is greater than that. What everybody will spend in the United States of America in the airline industry this year. That's horrible. So I encourage you, get out and find it. Go to a theater somewhere, see it. You can go on when the film finished at the end, there'll be a QR code you can scan, and you can go in and pay it forward so somebody else has the ability to see the film. And the last I checked, they were at $7 million paying it forward, which is pretty cool to say it and to see.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyways, I encourage you to go see that. And then part two of my announcements tonight, and I'm actually going to share my screen for this, is... Brother Dutch Sheets given us the assignment of paint your state. And what you can see on your screen right now, isn't that something? And it just totally disappeared. Is it there? It's called Paint Your State. Now, this is not on your cell phone. This is actually on the computer. But you can see right here in the top menu, it gives you the home, paint your state, and about prayer medium. And just click on Paint Your State. You'll notice in the picture behind it, got an atlas laid out there. Obviously, somebody who can't drive has got an atlas out, and they're praying over the deal. This is part one, part two, part three of the dream. And then the full storyline, he has a video of him preaching at the Oasis Church, Tim's Church. And then here's the Cape Henry Declaration, Anoint the Borders Decree, and the Declaration of Dependence on God. And go right on down in the screen. Here's how to create a post. Here's what to say in the post. And then if you keep going down, it'll show you all the states. Now, just for the sake of it, let's click on Alaska. Oops, that wasn't Alaska. That was Alabama. Let's try it again. Here we go. Let's go down here again. Alaska. And look at the picture. The western border of Alaska, July 5th through the 8th. There's the Appeal to Heaven flag. There's a beautiful picture of the state of Alaska. Isn't that beautiful? And Somebody's got a shield behind him. What is that laying on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
But why'd you pick Alaska? Well, in a place where you might think there's nothing there, look at this. We are a prayer call group from all over Alaska. Haines, Juneau, Wasilla, Nina, North Pole, Fairbanks, Anchorage. We are the Alaska branch of the 24/7 National Strategic Prayer Call.
Wow.
Now, here's what we're seeing. God has people all over this world who are praying for the United States of America. And I love it. And they give out the phone numbers so you can make a phone call. look at what it says right here. July 13th, 8 o'clock, we anointed the four boundaries using the Alaska map because there would be north to Prudhoe Bay, oil, St. Lawrence Island, Watchman and Nome Gold, west Attu and Kodiak, fish in the military, south border, ADAC, east border, Canada, Haines, Juneau. I mean, you can just see there's a group of people all the way out in Alaska saying, thank you, Brother Dutch, for telling us what to do. Here we go. And it's just so important that all of us go, and if nothing else, just put a post in of our prayer and agreement that America will be saved.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Just get in there in your state and put something in and join with everybody else and believe God with them. I mean, these people are out in their backyard by a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to pray.
Yes, it is.
So, an appeal to heaven by one of the rivers or something there. I think it's great. Besides that, I love Alaska. So anyways, enough of that. I just encourage you to do something and be ready. Hey, I don't have the private setting tonight. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's always good to have you in here with us.
It is.
All right. Brother Rogers got YouTube going.
He does.
All right. Get all this shut down. There we go. My audio keeps coming in and going out. That was our first part of our program. I would like to say one more thing. Introduction. Excuse me. You talk. I just had to get rid of that frog. Now, for a long time now, we have endeavored to get on the broadcasting of Wilkins Radio. And I sent John, my contact over there, I sent him an email a month ago now saying, I'm ready, John. But I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. God's work goes forward no matter what. And every time God gives us an assignment, there's a lot that goes into that assignment. And first of all, it's the vision of it. And we've got to go before God and say, what are you saying? How are you saying? What are we doing? Then it's pulling the pieces all together to begin to make it happen. Then it's writing a plan so that it can happen. And then it's implementing that plan. And there's just no way around it that it's more editing time that's got to happen in order to make that come to pass. And so just in case you've heard me speak about that before and say, all right, that's it, we're doing it. I don't know who we heard say it the other day, but it was one of the great leaders that we follow that said they actually have somebody on staff who listens to everything they say,
Dutch
Sheets, and writes down when it says we're going to go do this so that we don't let anything fall through the cracks. And if tonight, well, whenever somebody's listening, you're somebody that knows how to do audio or video and editing, we really need your help. And that's what matters. That's what will make us be able to take the next step into different parts of the technologies where we can put this gospel message. And so in my opening comments here and my announcements, I'm just going to put that in there. If that's you, please, I don't know it's you unless you send me an email. I know in the realm of the spirit and here that God has sent me all I need for all more than enough silver, more than enough gold, sent us this ministry, more than enough skilled workers. I speak it. But until you send me an email and say, Pastor, how can I help? Then I don't know who you are. I just have a hold of you in the realm of the spirit, and I actually want to get a hold of you in the natural. I don't know if that came out right, but my heart was right. Join with us as we do the work of the ministry. And if you've got some hours in your day, some time in your day, you'd be glad to help us get some of this work done. We would definitely appreciate your help, because there's a lot to do and there's so many people that we need to reach for the kingdom of God. It's amazing. It is amazing. Well, here we go. Let's get started. I really want to have a big fancy intro, and I want to have audios and videos that are fade ins and fade outs. Here we go with establishing your faith. And then pictures of all of you studying and the video rolling and music playing. And I like that.
Yeah.
But most of all, we're going to do this in Jesus' name. So let's just start here at the beginning. I'll share my screen again. And we'll make our confession together.
What happened to her Sunday? She was here, no, she's not. She got bumped over.
All right, there we go. Mm-hmm. more than ever before, I see the absolute importance of us being so faithful. Why did you just do that?
Not sure.
I'm like Sister Leanne.
Richard.
I have no idea what just happened on my screen over here. But at least we have a really nice picture up. That's really interesting. So here we go. If you can, rise together with me. If everybody did this, that's a believer, everything would change. Let's make our, what happened? There we go. Let's make the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And now the pledge to the United States of America.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we're going to have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who in their lifetime, because of combat, carry the scars in their spirit, soul, and body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. And as you can see on my stand behind me, this is in honor of my dear friend's brother, Kenneth V. Welch, who's killed in a bombing in Beirut. If you will, stand together with me. This moment of silence begins now. And if you haven't done this in a while, let's sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Amen. God bless America. And now our opening prayer. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation,
as ambassadors
of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry
that believers' lives
will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
See the YouTube comment?
No.
Richard is with us and is asking, do you need a video editor?
Yes.
And welcome, Richard.
Welcome, Richard. And yes, we need a video editor. Here we go. Now, we haven't done this in a while. These are the nations from around the world that are part of our program. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless our partners and each believer in these nations. The United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Malawi, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Tunisia, Oman, United Arab Emirates, Bulgaria, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, Nepal, India, Pakistan, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, Kazakhstan, China, Romania, and all the nations of the world. Isn't it something how right now we are streaming to Blog Talk Radio? And who knows how many of these nations are with us right now? I'll say this to each of you. No matter what nation of the world you're in, righteousness exalts that nation. So, speak the righteousness of faith over your nation every single day. Speak righteousness in the pulpit. Speak righteousness in your politics. Speak righteousness in business. Speak all of your pastors. Rise up and live in righteousness. Why? Because when you and I speak that righteousness exalts the nation, it doesn't matter what nation you is. And that, and you are. Isn't that awesome to know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's a lot of people who say, well, yeah, America's that way, but we're not. And yet, all over the world tonight, there are literally millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of believers. And they're in every nation. And there are good people in every nation doing good things. And, I mean, some of those little nations in Africa, the king is actually born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer because of a missionary that was there. So never surrender in your nation, standing in the gap for it in Jesus' mighty name. Now, this is one of my favorite sets of verses right here. The commanded blessing of unity. Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. You know how we set things up and then you look at them and you're like, why did I do that? I have no idea why. There's three dots in front of the behold.
They're more to the beginning of that verse. That's what I assume.
Well, when you look at my New King James, it just starts with behold.
Huh.
But those three little dots is, that's just a good way of saying therefore. And then you find out what the therefore is therefore. Hallelujah. Father, we receive the commanded blessing of God on us tonight. You promised to command a blessing on us because we're dwelling together in unity. And we receive it. Just lift your hands and say, I receive your commanded blessing.
I receive your commanded blessing.
In my life right now.
In my life.
In Jesus'
right now.
Mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go here for a minute. We haven't said this in a while. I sow my time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. Mark 10, 28 through 30. Peter said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, everyone who leaves house, brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, you shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, and children and lands. Now land is income and salary with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. I receive the hundredfold of all my life and faith for the kingdom that is laid up in harvest form in heaven. I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and save lives around the world. People just say, nothing in return, and I just do it because I love him. Well, that's good, but there's no place in the Bible that God doesn't expect something that he did to produce. He said, as long as the earth remains, there will be what? Seed time and harvest. So he's expecting you to receive a harvest of what you do in every area. Should you offer and worship God with no hesitation? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But when he says, I want you to receive this, then go ahead and receive it. Hallelujah.
He delights.
Say it.
He delights in our prosperity.
He delights in the prosperity of the kingdom. All right. We fulfill the Great Commission today. These are all prophetic words that God's given us to speak over this ministry. Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Amen and amen. I love these prophetic utterances because they're the word of God for this body of believers. And we've got many more that we should be putting in here. And so, here we go. All believers are one and the same in God our Father, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace in my life. Now let's pray for the fivefold ministry. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say that last line again. That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you get the revelation that the Apostle Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, said that we should all be filled with all the fullness of God, it's not hard to understand the righteousness of faith. Right? Those two go hand in hand. The righteousness of faith and be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is what happens to you when you're born again. I've gone to preaching, and it's not that message tonight. I just like to preach that message. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders in every area of life. It's sad, but one of the worst places of trafficking has come through the Catholic Church. I'm not saying Catholics agree with it. That is a scourge. 15. Speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. Now pause for a minute. Let me change my statement. I don't want anybody offended at me. Although I know I'll offend people, but it don't matter. I don't need to do it on purpose. I'm not saying the Catholic Church is the only church that has given over to that. I know horrendous stories of many people in all different denominations of how they were abused by their pastor. We heard the story of the young lady who was a beautiful singer, and when a Southern Gospel singing group came through, the mom and dad went to the group and said, "We'd like to have our daughter go with you and sing. Would that be possible?" They're like, "Well, yeah, that would be wonderful. We would love to have her as an addition to the team." And then she got raped by them every night. After they stood in the pulpit and worshiped God. So I'm not jabbing at Catholics. If you're a Catholic believer, I believe in you that you believe in Jesus. And in many, many places in the kingdom of God. No way. Many places in churches, this goes on.
In churches.
It's not the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
There. Did I straighten that out? I don't want you offended at me. I'm not against anybody, but I'm not afraid to call out sin. Sin is, well, it's like the big, huge non-denominational church in Georgia. The pastor had paid on staff young ladies to give him sex before he would go on the pulpit and preach. So everybody knows it's called the spirit of religion. And that's why I make these confessions right here. Look at this next one. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. This is a wicked, wicked doctrine that somebody's believing that this is right. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. Here we go, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. And now I can tell I'm just going to keep going on this, and I got to get to the word. So we're going to say three more screens. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today, Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked way. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. Well, let's go. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people For the people shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And right now, I paint our state with the word of God from Granora to Devil's Lake, from Fargo to, what's the border town? Belfield. No. The park. Where's the park? South Park. It's the name of that little town.
Medora.
And all the way back up, in the mighty name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has painted our state.
Amen.
And it's bringing us deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you that might be like, Pastor, what's up with all this confession that you make? I learned a long time ago that it's only the word of God that we actually believe and speak that actually comes to pass. One of these in a glass. Please and thank you. You're wonderful. It's only the word of God that we actually speak that will come to pass. Jesus is the high priest of our profession and our confession. And so I encourage you, don't put Jesus in the unemployment line. Get some word of God out and declare it and speak it forth. Now, I want to say something rather in the natural. All right? For those of you who are watching tonight, until I can get up and do something different, that thing right up there, that's not my hair all messed up. That's from that plant. I keep looking at the screen saying, why is that hair sticking straight out? It's not. Here we go. Tonight's lesson is in conjunction with what we started about 5 days ago, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. But you can't just speak that and then not ever think anything more about it. You actually have to tear that verse apart and say, what does this actually mean? The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. Well, effectual means it's got to be effective. Fervent means it's with great passion and zeal. But then it says of the righteous. And we realize in the New Testament that there is the righteous, and then there's the self-righteous, two different groups of people. And so as I began to teach on that night, it was just like, well, it's time to go into this again and teach some more about it, dig out some more revelation. And one of the things you'll learn here at the Community of Faith is that God gives us a statement. He gives us a thought. He gives us an understanding, and then he causes us to get in there and dig it out until we actually get it. And so that's what we're doing right here, and it's doing it about righteous. Now, last night, we read verses, and I don't know. I think we probably made it all the way down through, like, Leviticus. Of all the verses in the Bible with the word sin in them. And, of course, that takes you all through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law, and what God said about sacrifices and sin. And, of course, then that's just one word. That's not sin. No, that's sin. That's not sins. That's not the soul that is sinning. That is not sinned. That's just one word, and that's called sin. And of course, we know there's four different types of sin in the Bible. In the Greek, there's four different words that actually are for sin. And we'll get to that as we continually go through this. But so last night we read a lot of verses about sin. And I'm just not comfortable with that, because God doesn't want us to be sin conscious. God wants us to be righteousness conscious. And so this afternoon, as I woke up and was getting around and just talking and meditating with God, I came upon this set of verses here. And the bottom line is, I'm just not going to talk that much about sin without talking about righteousness.
Amen.
Because our new life isn't a life of sin, it's a life of righteousness. So even though it's all right just to study things about our enemy to know how it works, don't get enemy focused.
Yeah.
Don't make a doctrine of the devil. There is one. But why would you study the doctrine of the devil when we've got the doctrine of God Almighty, which is an endless amount of study?
Amen.
And he lives on the inside of us. You don't have to study the enemy. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Did we make it back?
Yes.
All the screens went black. And it's like, wow. I just had to get a little closer to you. I wanted to get right up here where I can see you. It's just us and we're having fun. So where we're going to go tonight is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, for those of you that were feeling good last night when we were reading about sin because it's such a part of your life, tonight I command you to be free from sin. Can you even do that, Pastor? Yes, I can do that. I'm your pastor. I might not be your pastor, but as a fivefold ministry gift to this world, I have the ability to command you to be sin free in the mighty name of Jesus. So, let's start with Romans chapter 6, and we're going to go down to verse 20 through 23. Romans 6, 20 through 23. There you go. On your screen is a confession. Let's make it. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I don't know how we missed this one. But this his up here must be capitalized. I don't know how I missed that. But we fixed it. Romans 3. Oh, Jesus. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 20. And if you can, get your Bible out. Put your hands on the word. Hold it in your lap and read straight from God's holy word. I've got technology and applications all around me, but his word That's why I love the Bible. It just feels good to carry it with you. Verse 20. When you were slaves of sin, read it with me. That's good. You were free in regard to righteousness when you were slaves to sin. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of sin is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to eternal, to holiness, and the end thereof, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, chapter 7 is Paul writing about the battle that believers fight on the inside. And you can heap it all up, pile it all up in one verse. And that's Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For what I am doing, it's just difficult to read. You just have to lock your eyes on it and read it. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it's good. But it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Well, wait a minute. If you've been made free from sin, it's not dwelling in you anymore.
Amen.
So this isn't Paul at the end of his life giving a personal testimony about I'm still battling sin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is to present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the will, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, and then you go down here, 22, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. If your inward man has been made a new creation, then this battle of 15 through 20 is not inside, it's outside. Did that make sense how I said that? Since you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, this battle of the good I would, I don't do, and that which is evil, I do, that battle's not on the inside of you. That battle's on the outside of the enemy saying, you must go back to what you were. And you're on the inside going, uh-uh, God is in here. I ain't never going back to that. So that battle is not in here. It's out here through the mind by fiery darts. Amen, Pastor, amen. See, here's the reality. We are in a battle, but it is a battle that we have won. And we have won it, this battle, because God took the Holy Spirit, his great power, and put him inside of us. Holy Spirit is a him, just like Jesus and God. And he put that inside of us. Well, now the teacher is resident inside of us. Say it. The teacher is resident inside me.
The teacher is resident inside of me.
No. I want you to get something about this. All of my life. I have been a part of a church that believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. My mom and dad, all my life, believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? I don't know that I ever heard anybody teach it regularly. The resident teacher lives in me. He's my resident teacher. How do I say it in the confession? How's it going? The Holy Spirit, my resident teacher, yeah, is making the word come alive. That's how we say it. So now I say that about my life, and I don't say that about something about my dad or my mom or anything. I'm making a statement. I went to a church that believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know. I think that we actually got that statement, resident teacher. I think that actually came to us when we began this as a statement like that. And that statement has now transformed me, because I no longer view all of this battle that is around me as a battle that's inside. I view it as a battle that's on the outside coming against my mind. If I don't give myself to the battle out there but resist it, then that battle never gets down in here and it's never on the inside of me. Say it with me. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Now let's go back to the verses that I just read in Romans chapter 6, verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin. That's a past tense word. Did you notice that all the words are past tense? There's none of them that are future. That's very true. When you were slaves of sin, free in regard to righteousness. 22. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So how do you still have sin on the inside of you and produce the fruit of holiness and everlasting life? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make it bad. Now, I don't recommend anybody makes the tree bad in your life, making it a good tree. But see, verse 20 says, when you were slaves of sin, verse 22 says, but now having been made free from sin. So, Pastor, say it again. How do you say about the battle? The battle is out here coming at you from the enemy of sin. The battle's not in here because of sin on the inside. You have been made free from sin. Let's go real quickly right now, and we'll read over here in Isaiah chapter 1. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word.
Take a big sip. You know, Isaiah 1. Let's go down here. Goodness sakes alive. If you've been reading, if you've been following the Read the Word programs, this is where we're at here. We just got Isaiah and Amos and a whole bunch of messed up kings of Israel and Judah. Goodness, them people had some problems. And they're God's children. Let's go down here. Let's go to 12. And, you know, We'll probably go down to 26. Isaiah 1, 12 to 26. I don't usually read this much in this chapter. When I just opened up my Bible, I got all the stuff underlined and in circles. And so I'm like, might as well read this. Ready? When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts? Bring me no more futile sacrifices. That's an interesting statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't bring them. What's that? Something that doesn't cost you something. Remember what David said? I will not offer to God something that doesn't cost me something. And so, let's keep reading. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Meeting. So what is he telling them? He's saying to them, do not come before me with the perfect sacrifice and a heart that is running away from me. Show up, you got your ram, you got your turtle doves, you got your pigeons, you got your sheep, but your heart is not in any of it. He said, don't do it. None of it means anything to me. And he's the one that commanded them to do all of those actions. Keep reading. Let's see, 14. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He's not talking to the sinner here, guys. He's talking to his own people. He's talking to his own people that are sinning. But this isn't just a wicked man on the street he's talking to. 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. In the Old Testament, their only way of being right with God was to wash themselves. And in the act of purifying with water, they could make their flesh clean. And the Day of Atonement came once a year. And so one time a year, they were actually sin-free. One time a year. Until they left and did something against the law. So God is saying to them, learn to do good. Cease from evil. Now let's read 18. Come now and let us reason together. Many people do not realize that verse is even in the Bible that God would ever say to us, come now and let us reason together. But there's two references of it right in the book of Isaiah where God says, I want to reason together with you. You might say, are you sure, Pastor? Well, look at what he just said. See, what you and I got to realize in the day that we live in this dispensation of grace, say it with me, God lives in me. So that I can communicate with him very simply. Because see, if he's a God that's way out in that sky, something might get mixed up between your ears and heaven. But when you realize he's living inside of you, there's not too much difficulty to get God to speak from here to here. It's simple, 18 inches. You can get God to speak 18 inches, even those of you that have said you've never heard God actually speak to you. Well, most time he's speaking by the inner witness, by leadership, by a leading, not by an audible voice. Many times I think us pastors make it sound like we get an audible voice all the time, and that is just not the case. I wouldn't think most people actually hear an audible voice, but maybe once or twice in their whole Christian life. But what is it we're talking about? The inward witness of his leadership in our life. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. But if you refuse, you'll be devoured by the sword. What sword? Well, in our generation, this sword. In their generation, a wicked dictator would come in, take over the nation, and many of them would be killed by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, that's usually where I stop in this chapter. Let's keep reading. How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it. That's a powerful statement. Righteousness lodged in the city. Remember what we said earlier? Righteousness exalts the nation. The greatest answer for America to be saved is that we get the message of righteousness to the whole nation. I think that's why there's such a battle against us to be able to get this word we're speaking about, the righteousness of faith, out. Because as soon as this gets out and invades another 5, 10, 20 million people's lives, righteousness is going to be exalted in this nation. 21. I'm in Isaiah 1:21. The city was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it. But now they're murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them at all. That's why you're going to continually hear me talk about this sex trafficking, because in God's eyes, the fatherless, we must defend them. This perversion that's happening to our children, we must fight this diligently every single day. You may not feel like you can be an operator that can fly to a foreign country and function going in and out of a building and wrapping up bad guys. But listen, they don't need you over there. They need you and I right here defending the fatherless and the widow or the young lady that's been captured, forced into the sex trade. Those people need us defending them in the realm of the spirit, saying, may the angels of heaven set them free tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. May, this is my prayer that I keep seeing. Watch this. A band of angels, like 50 or 100 strong, walks in a room where these children are kept locked up. Unlocks the door, marches them right out of the room, right past their captors, right? And those wicked perverse sit there shaking in their shoes, messing themselves, with fear causing trembling because of the size of the angels that just liberated the children, and they march them right down the road into a church where there's a pastor who will love every one of them, and the angel gives them the command, here's what's going on, call this guy. Now, we've heard so many angel stories in this last month from Brother Dutch and different people that's been teaching that we know this is the case. Think about Brother Terry's. Brother Terry Mize's story. Do you remember it? That's it. I'm going to go find it and play it.
I was going to say, he has so many stories.
Yeah. I think it was India or somewhere. They told him, don't come or we'll kill you.
Oh.
And he goes to this village and they're like, Brother Terry, don't come down here. If you come, they said they're going to burn our whole village. And he said, they can't burn the village. I'm coming. And he said, that's not what they said. He goes, well, I don't care what they've said. And Brother Terry Mises already covers every trip that's around the world in the prayer language of the Spirit. Long before he ever gets there, he gets it all done in the realm of the Spirit before he goes and does it. It's a great spiritual principle to learn from Brother Terry Mises. I'm going to mess the story up. So when you hear it, you know, remember the story. All right?
Waiting for it.
You'll hear him tell the story. So I'm going to find it because now I got to hear the story right because I'm messing it up. They did not come burn that village. And Brother Terry made some kind of a statement like, and anyone who attacks one of God's children, God will attack them. Something to that effect. The witch doctor's house and temple burnt down. And the man came bowing down to Brother Terry saying, you are the greater spirit. I bow down to you. And Brother Terry's like, you ain't bowing down to me, dude. You better bow down to Jesus because he just burnt your house down. All right. Brother Terry, if you're listening tonight, please forgive me that I've slaughtered your story so bad, but I know it's something like that. So if you're listening, dial 213-943-3434 and tell us the story.
Tell it right.
Somebody quick, call Brother Terry and say, tell us the story. Well, what's the purpose of what you're saying? How does that have to do with this? Well, right here in this chapter, chapter 1 of Isaiah, we can see God saying to all of Israel, hey, you got to get out of this wickedness. God, I don't want wickedness in your heart. But if you're still sinning, you'll never reach out to help the widow and the orphan. You won't ever reach out to help. Why? Because you got sin in your life. God will say, I need you to go with that group of people, and I need you to stand there and pray in faith. And when you get there, because your sin conscience, because it's still having an effect on you, you won't be able to pray in boldness because you got a consciousness of sin. Remember when Dr. Winston taught about, I don't know, 3 years ago, he taught that whole series.
Yeah.
And he said, you don't need more faith. You need more righteousness consciousness. So obviously, when you and I stand in the gap, make up the hedge for someone around the world somewhere, then the angels of God come out before him. I used that verse last night, and I need to get that reference in me. Will you look up, don't do anything to these little ones because their angels are always standing before me. I think it's like Luke 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, or 15, somewhere. Now, she'll find that verse.
Matthew
18, 10. Well, who would have put it in Matthew? It's supposed to be in Luke. Let's just grab this verse for a minute. Matthew 18:10. Well, it's on the right side of the page, so that must have been the one I was looking for. You know how some verses, you learn where it's at in your Bible, and you don't really look for the reference, you look for what it looks like on the page?
Yeah. Yep.
Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Don't mess with the little ones. This is going to become a very regular verse we use here, is Matthew 18:10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. I'm going to go to Luke 15 because in my Bible it gives me a cross reference. It's just not it. I know there's a verse in Luke, too. So. Anyways.
This isn't the one you were looking for?
Yeah, that is. Thank you. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Memorize it. Write it down. Get it in you. I'm back in Isaiah chapter 1 because I can see that if I start down that path, I'm just going to go right over to the top of that mountain and stand on it and scream and holler. And I got to be focused. So here we go. Look what time it is already. I'm in verse 24. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. Now look at this verse, 26. I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice, and her penitents with righteousness. The destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. And God has always said, I'm going to do this for my name's sake. If you're willing and obedient, you get to eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed. Now, I'm going to go right now back to Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to read this whole chapter. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, tells us five times about the free gift of righteousness. Five times he said it. So it's easy to remember. Five times in Romans 5 is the free gift of righteousness. Five times. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is teaching by the Holy Spirit that we are dead to sin and alive to God. Are you ready? Somebody shout this time, I'm ready for the word. It's a new declaration. Hallelujah, Brother Dan. He made it. He found that mute button and he made it. Glory be to God. I'm ready for the word. Now watch. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, naturally, anybody that's been in sin is going to say, no, I want to be free. Certainly not. Underline it. Circle it. Highlight it. Put a star by it. Amen, Richard. Amen, Roger. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Pastor, that's my problem. I can't seem to get sin to die in my life, and you're not going to be able to get it to die in your life if you're doing it in your own strength. Because in our own strength, we don't have the ability, nothing on the inside of us, to die sin, if you'll allow me to say it that way. There's only one process that dies out sin, and that is the righteousness of God. And there's only one way you get it, and that's a free gift. Keep reading. I'm in verse 3. Do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You are buried with him in baptism and raised to a new life. That's the process. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Jesus went to hell as the righteous Lamb of God. Jesus said, the glory that you have given me, Father, I have given to them. And we just see it right here that what raised Jesus from the dead was the glory of the Father. And what is the glory of the Father? But righteousness and truth. That is the glory. Somebody shout one. John Wayner Dude is with us tonight. Woo! John Wayner, we love you. Good to see you, my brother. Keep reading. I'm in Romans chapter 6. Somebody wants to put that in there. We're reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. Now watch. I'm in Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am actually home, John, yes. And get your faith with me, brother, that there will always be a load that brings me back to my house every day so I can sleep in my bed instead of the bed of that truck. Amen. It's good to hear, man. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless John Wayner. I bless him with strength and the inner man and soundness of mind, courage in his soul, and those hands building like you've never built before.
Amen.
Just so you know, Brother John, Kim Brown called me yesterday and asked me about you and said, I love that Brother John Wayner. Yesterday, he was in Alaska on a mission trip. Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, and actually, once you are born again, you can change that if to since. Everybody listen. The Holy Spirit wrote this to people in a manner and in a tense that says, if you do this, you get this. But you and I, once you and I get to, once we are born again, change these ifs to since. Watch. For since, lost my verse, there it is. For since we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, I want to pause for just a minute here. Let me do something here. I got to write a note in my Bible because some of you aren't writing it, and so I'm going to do it. Now, hold your place there, and let's just go grab that verse. John 17. This has come to me several times, so I'm just going to do it. John 17, verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, that's Jesus talking to the Father, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one. Let's read it again. You want to read it out loud? 22. And the glory which you gave me, this is Jesus talking, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one. Hold on just a second. I got to write that verse in there. This is Romans 6, 4. Romans 6, 4. I'm going to write that right in by 22. And then I'm going to come over here. I'm going to write John 17, 22 by Romans 6, 4. So the next time I'm studying, I got those two cross-reference verses. Here we go. I'm in Romans 6, 5. For if we have, since we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Say this, I am a slave to righteousness, not to sin.
Not to sin.
You are a slave to righteousness, not to sin. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to get this picture. When you're baptized, you're buried in death with Jesus. And you're risen to a new life in him. Some of you may have only been baptized just because that was what everybody said you had to do. Some people are baptized for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Spirit. It says that in the book of Acts. Other people, the only reason they got baptized was to follow Jesus' example, and they never were taught. You are literally being buried in death in baptism so that you can be raised in new life in righteousness. And the glory that God gave Jesus, the Father gave Jesus, which was righteousness, Jesus gave that same glory to you and I. Righteousness.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's keep reading. I'm going to verse 6. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, that inward sin nature, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Say it. I am no longer a slave of sin.
I am no longer a slave of sin.
7. For he who has died has been made free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. I'm going to change this. Since we died with Christ, we believe and know that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. It's kind of like the Southerners. Paul was talking Southern there. I reckon I'm dead to sin. Everybody say it. I reckon I am dead to sin. I'm going to read it again. Likewise, all y'all yourself reckon yourselves dead from sin. Hallelujah. 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 Now, watch. 7. For he who has died has been made free from sin. But remember, I want you to get this statement. Matter of fact, I've not done this yet, but I'm going to write it in right here. Everybody just pause. If death in your body is the only time you are free from sin, then death is your Savior, not Jesus. I don't remember who said that, but it doesn't matter who said it. We give them the proper props, and we say, thank you, Lord, that they said it, but I want you to get what I just wrote down. If death in your body is the only time that you're free from sin, then death is the Savior. Well, I know we heard him say that, but I know he quoted somebody when he said that. Oh. And then situations like that, you know what we do? We say, the Holy Spirit spoke.
Spirit, amen.
Amen. Our resident teacher spoke. And, you know, I really like this. It doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter to me to get credit for anything. And I'm going to end up writing some books and stuff. And, of course, you got to put your name on it. You got to do all that. And you got to do all that stuff. But remember this. Nothing that any of us have, we got of ourselves, our own selves. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yep.
Everything that we've got, we're going to get from God, and it's going to come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So just get over yourself. Amen? You don't have to be seen. You don't have to be heard. And there's a really severe judgment and penalty for those of us who are seen and heard, like I am being every day. There's a severe judgment. The book of James actually says there's double honor, but not only is there double honor, there's double judgment, because you got to be so careful that what you're saying is from a heart that is motivated to help other people and truly see people saved. And I said it last night, and I'm going to say it again tonight. Whatever you do, if you come here and I'm preaching about this message of righteousness and sin, and you're like, man, I feel like He's condemning me. I will never condemn anybody. I have fought this battle my own self all my life. I will never condemn. You can text Sister Leanne and say, did Pastor ever condemn me? Never. I know the battle that you're fighting, and I am diligently doing my part to help break religiosity and the spirit of religion so that we can actually get down to the core, the bottom line of the Word of God. I mean, literally, we just saw in Isaiah 1, the soul that sins, it will die. You commit an iniquity, you're going to die. That's just the Word of God. You can't change it. But once you've been born again, yes, God knows you're born again. Now he wants you to get the revelation of how deep the born-againness went. Because it went clear to the very core of who you are, your born-againness. Anyways, I'm back in Romans chapter 6. Say this again with me. Everybody pause, just say it. I have been made free from sin. I am no longer a slave. In Jesus' name. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And he lives in you. He lives in you.
Hallelujah.
So if death has no more dominion over him, then guess what? Death has no dominion over you. Keep reading. 10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now remember, God didn't make Jesus a sinner because he would have never been able to get out of hell. God laid on him the sins of us all and made him the sacrifice for sin. He carried it to hell as the sinless example, the spotless lamb, and he landed in hell as a lamb and wiped out every power of the enemy.
Amen.
Verse number 10 or 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus our Lord. That's one of those verses that you need to get put in your life and memorized, but not just out of memory, but out of the fact that revelation has hit you. I reckon myself to be dead from sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you'll memorize that verse and you'll use that every day, every time a sin or a temptation pops up in front of you, you will be set free. And I'm telling you, I just about deleted my Facebook account the other day. Seriously. Yeah. Because it popped up some of them ads for the dating sites. And it says on there, because of your viewing practices. I've never been to a dating site. Ever one time.
You know, they
let you doing that online. And it's like I that is not me. And I wanted to throw my phone right out the window, but you can't do that. You need your phone. And the phone would say, it's not me, sir, it's you. But I encourage you, put a stop to all that stuff there. Yeah, thank you, Richard. Say it again a little louder. They know what we're looking at, and they know what kind of person you are. That's straight from the enemy. And what's crazy about it is I have never been to a dating site ever. Never. And it's like,
we believe you,
well, I know, but But the perverse pictures that it was putting up, my first thought was, I sure hope nobody can see this. I literally, I'm just like I said, I'm just deleting this whole thing. I don't want this in my life. But anyways, I married way above my head. It's good to have you on with us, John. Ready? I reckon myself dead to sin. Get that verse in you. 12. I got so many verses to read tonight. I'm not going to get to them all. Therefore, verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Don't let it be there. The only way it's there is that it shows up and you embrace it. I'm going to tell you right now why I learned this from Brother Jesse. Expose sin and do it publicly. Because if you don't expose it, then it will humiliate you. And I love his story of Whore of Babylon, Whore of Babylon. I love it. It's a great story. Because he chased the woman right out of his seat and he didn't have to deal with her the rest of the flight. First-class woman was sitting in the back seat of coach because she didn't want to be near the preacher another day. And he had the seat all to himself. I love Brother Jesse. He said, if you ever stand in line at the bank or the grocery store or anywhere else and there's a long line in front of you, just start praying out loud in tongues. They'll move you right to the front to get you through. Tracy McSwain. Woo! Now we need to see Elaine Tafila. And we need to see Okalarze, and we need to see, what's that other lady, the young lady's name? Sound like a Jewish name. She used to be here a lot and come and see us. Anyways, we welcome you. We want you back. Maxine and Gary West, I haven't seen you, but you guys don't usually come over here, but we love you. And Julian and Mala, I don't know where you are, but I speak life and health in your body and your strength and your soul and in your spirit. The same to you, Brother Tanvir and Sister Nassim. We love you and all the kids. May God's richest blessing be on you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Here we go. To get back to Romans chapter 6. I'm really staying focused. I really am. 12. Do not let sin reign. Oh, there's where we are. Reign in your mortal body. Go back with me now to across the page. To Romans chapter 5, and let's go to verse 17. Romans 5, 17, I'm on the same page in my Bible. Look, if you have a real Bible, your Bible would look something like this. Look at all those lines and circles and stars and underlines. It's amazing. This is a great chapter in the Bible. I got so much. All right, you had to go to church. Amen. God bless church. What day is it? Is it Wednesday already?
It is.
Everybody pause for a minute here. It's the last day of my hitch.
Oh, really?
If you marginalize, send your marginalized. What Jesus did on the cross. God bless you, stupid Siri. I think she's trying to say if you marginalize sin, you marginalize what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Amen. Now, look at verse 17, Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, so since Adam to today, everyone is born into sin. You have the nature of sin in you. Watch this. 17. For if by one man's offense death reign through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and up here he calls it the free gift, the free gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ who's living in you. So if you receive the abundance of grace and you receive the free gift of righteousness, then you will reign with Jesus and you will no longer let sin reign in your mortal body. Because as soon as you reign in life with Christ, all of the sin is automatically, by the nature of righteousness reigning in you, sin has no place in you. It has to go. Because your body can only be, you as a being can only be held by one force. Remember what Jesus said? He said you can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
You're going to serve God or money. But it's, you can take it out of money and just put it into the fact of there can only be one force functioning inside of me at the same time. James said it. The Apostle James by the Holy Spirit said, you're either going to have bitter water or sweet. You can't have both come out of the same mouth. So if you think like God, you will live like God. And when you realize that God is in you thinking, all of a sudden you realize, I just got to think the thoughts of God and no longer meditate on sin and be sin conscious. I've got to meditate on righteousness and be righteousness conscious. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
In verse 17.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Hey, bless you, Phyllis. Love you. Yeah, your thinking is going to be what you pursue. Now, I want to say this again. If you are sin conscious, you're going to be sin focused. If you are righteousness conscious, you're going to be righteousness focused. I want you to go to sleep at night saying specific verses. Say that. I haven't looked at it in a while. Look it up if you would love. How many days since March 23rd, 2020? So when I say I want you to go to sleep saying a verse of scripture, of course, there's probably 1,000 of those verses of scripture over the last 3 years that I've said, say this verse while you're going to sleep. Here's the reality. You find the one that is working for you when you go to sleep to meditate in. You find it. And then you make that the verse that you go to sleep by every night or day, whatever your shift you're on. I'm on the day shift or the night shift, so I would say it in the daytime when I'm going to sleep. Go ahead. 1,216 days since we started this. And except for 5 days that we took off to go to California, we've been at it every single day. Listen, if you don't realize what I just said is a testimony of the grace of God.
Yeah, amen.
And wait, all of you doing your part. What a testimony. 1,000 what?
216.
1,216 days. Wow, 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 wow. Now, I'm in Romans 6:12 and Romans 5:17. Both of those verses have the word reign in them. Both verses, Romans 5:17, for if by one man's affairs death reigned, how much more when you receive the abundance of grace and gift of righteousness, you will reign in life. Romans 6:12 says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let it reign. 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Don't do it. but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and present your members as instruments of righteousness to God. 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You're not under the law, but you're under grace, and sin does not have dominion over you. Now, in 2016, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I announced for our gathering of believers then, our church, that we were going to be focused every day, 2016, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I think I made it every day till like September. And then it was a severe challenge. 100-fold return was happening everywhere. But I would encourage you that if you're really fighting the battle of sin, and it's like, man, Pastor, I can't seem to get on top of this and get this revelation. Well, remember this. God knows the difference whether you're chasing sin and you're getting it, or sin's chasing you and getting you. Now, get your Bible app. Get your Bible. Get you a New Testament. Find the Gideons in your town and get a Gideon New Testament you can put in your pocket. Okay? And read Romans 5:15 all the way through chapter 6:23, and do it every single day. Do it several times in your day. Because the only thing that we've got to get established in your life is the Word of God. Watch. Now listen to me. Please. I'm helping some of you. Romans 5. Somebody type this in there. Romans 5:15 through Romans 6:23. What this is going to do, read it right out loud. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. Some of you, this needs to be the only thing you do for the next month in your Bible reading. You might read it and get done and say, Jesus, it doesn't mean a thing. I declare that it comes alive. And then start reading it again. And if you meet somebody new in your life, just tell them, you know, I need to read you a verse of scripture that I'm studying. And read it out loud to them. They might look at you and say, man, that doesn't make any sense. And you can even say, well, it don't make sense to me either, but let's just keep reading it, because God put it in the Bible for us to understand we're free from sin. There you go, John. That's good. Thank you. Through 6:23. Now, as you do this, and you read it right out loud, my prayer for you every day is that you see the reality of righteousness. You get that reality. You have been made righteous by Jesus, not by your actions. And all of a sudden, that understanding that you're reigning in life through Christ is going to forefront of your mind. And the revelation of God's word will now have gone down deep inside of your life until it got to the bottom of that last religious bone there was, and you'll be free. But tell me a picture of something that you can pour something on top and it kind of oozes down, like a hot fudge sundae. Mm. Right? Now, a hot fudge sundae is like being saved. It's amazing. But if you just have three stacks of brownies with chocolate in between them, that's amazing in itself. Start pouring the hot fudge on top of that, and the hot fudge just kind of oozes all the way around all the sides of the sundae, and then it gets down in the bottom, and it creates a pool around the brownies. What are we talking about? That hot fudge is just, it is saturating every part of it, and it's making the most wonderful thing. This is what the Word of God's got to do in our life when we don't understand a specific subject. If there's a subject you're like, man, I'm just not getting this, then put everything else on the shelf and say, God, help me see what verses to study. And then when he gives them to you, then do it. But literally, you can ask Sister Leanne. We lived in it for 2 years, every day, all day long. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To him who has revelation, more will be given. To him who lets revelation go, he's gonna lose the revelation that he has by not going after it. You guys are tearing it up on YouTube tonight.
Yeah.
I love it. I can see the comments tonight for once, you know. Embrace, humble, apologize, change, move on, and be a new creation. Amen. Amen. This is the thing, John. And thanks for being bold enough to say it. Sometimes it does not stick. You're right. But all of us here are going to call on God to help it stick inside of you, because God's word sticks. It's just all the other stuff that's been forced upon your life that might be trying to knock it off. And we say, no, the word of God sticks in my life. Amen, Richard. So, this is how you do it. Maybe it's right before you go to sleep. Maybe it's when you wake up in the morning. Maybe it's both. Yeah. Maybe it's both. You just wake up. In the morning, you say, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for it. I'm going to tell you, it's probably 3 weeks ago now, the revelation hit me that I should be using the blood of Jesus every day for finances and the financial side of our life, ministry, and business. Should be using the blood of Jesus every day for that, just like I do for sin. Well, I just want to let you know there's a whole lot of religious folks that would try you, convict you, and have you hanging on a cross to be crucified that night before dawn, before dark, if you said that out loud. But all of a sudden, I'm studying, and I went to the verse that says, we have been redeemed by the blood. Well, redeemed is a financial term. It means be bought back. It's financial. And the first thing Jesus did was financial. He bought you back from sin. So I have literally every day, all day long, been meditating in, Jesus bought me back from sin. I take the power of the blood to my finances, and I say I'm blessed abundantly. Coming in, going out. Rising up, laying down. In my labor, in my leisure, in the city, in the field. Everything I put my hand to will be blessed. And then no matter when the thoughts come the rest of the day that try to attack that truth that you're holding on to, you take these verses of scripture. God will give you one that you're to stand on. You take that one verse and you use that verse and stand on it, and you bloody the devil with it all day long, every single day. Because he can't handle the blood. And you don't get off of it until you win the victory in Jesus' mighty name. Well, what's my last verse? I'm going to finish the chapter. I'm going to just read it real quick. Romans 6, 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Don't sin. Do you know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading up to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Don't present your members to unrighteousness. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You were a slave, but you're not because Jesus did it. 18, having been set free from sin, you have become the slave of righteousness. I want to tell a story, but I'm going to keep reading. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been made free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I remember the story Dr. Barclay tells of somebody in one of the churches where he's the prophet or the apostle of that ministry, the bishop. A man in the church asked his pastor, "Pastor, can I call Dr. Barclay?" And he's like, "Well, I don't know. He's a busy man. What are you going to talk about? I just can't get free from having hookers all the time." Now, everybody listen. If that's you, don't say it publicly. So he called Dr. Barclay. Dr. Barclay said, "Well, here's what you do." He said, "The next time you start fighting that battle, call me on the phone. Here's my number. And I'll help you get free right then." So it wasn't but a couple of days, and he got a phone call from the guy. He said, "Where are you at, son?" He said, "Pastor, I'm sitting naked on the bed next to a prostitute, and I don't know what to do." He said, "Grab your clothes and run." And the man grabbed his clothes, his cell phone, and ran right out the door down the street naked. And listen, in that situation, he never fought it another day of his life. And wait, and Dr. Barclay never condemned him. We would never condemn you. You're filled with righteousness. All we got to do is just keep talking that righteousness till it fills you all the way up and all the sin is just gone out of you. And then you're going to be that flaming example of righteousness for the rest of your life. Well, that one story Dr. Barclay tells of meeting a pastor and his wife, and he's like, "Man, they're just a perfect pastor and pastor's wife." He said, "Their church is just kicking it." And then he found out that she was a professional call girl. Had been in her previous life. And he's like, "Really?" And he said, "Do you have any idea how many different menus?" But she said, "Thousands. Thousands and thousands." And he said, "Do you realize nobody would ever even think that of you today? You're so free by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." And she said, "Isn't it an amazing thing how if we just submit ourselves to the righteousness of God, it just transforms us into continually being what he wants us to be." Don't run from your Father. Run to him. First John 2:1. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But remember, Jesus Christ the righteous, has filled you with righteousness. And what he needs you to realize is he has made you into righteousness, and that sin has no power over you another day of your life. 2 Corinthians 5:21. All right, let's pray. I've got to just, I don't feel like stopping at all. I want to just go for another 2 hours, but I can't because I got to get up and go do my other deal. So we're going to just end right here on Romans 6:23. Let's pray. And then Tracy writes her comment in right when I get ready to pray. And she just plays that guitar string again. I don't want to be a religion. I don't want to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Amen, sister. Amen, amen, amen. Let's pray. Matter of fact, everybody pray this. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive your free gift of righteousness.
I receive your free gift of righteousness.
And I thank you that I reign in life with you.
And I thank you that I reign in life with you.
Through you, Jesus.
Through you, Jesus.
Every single day of my life.
Every single day of my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus'
name. Shout it. I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
Through Christ Jesus.
Through Christ Jesus.
Woo! Surrender is tough, but you got it, bro.
You got it.
Because you love God. Luke 22. We just got to go. This is... What you're watching right now tonight, what I'm doing right now, is exactly how you fight your Christian life. I don't want to stop preaching. I want to keep preaching. I don't want to go drive a truck. I want to do this. But I have a responsibility and accountability, and I must go do it. So here we go. Luke 22. And we're going to read the story of Jesus and the Last Supper. Everybody pause for a minute. Are my clothes dried? All right. Have you seen what's on the screen up there? Just wondering. Luke 22:14, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles were with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus, we have looked forward all day to this time of communion with you. 17, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take and divide this among you. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus literally took all of the Passover feast and put it into a glass of the fruit of the vine and a piece of bread. Why? Because our acts of righteousness were no longer going to have any effect. And Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Never again did it have to be sacrificed like it was then. And he knew it. And he knew it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Judge yourself. And then nobody else has. Because you're already right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? As he is, so are we in this world. And our righteousness is from him. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. There is no fear in God's perfect love. Trauma and torment, I bind you now, and I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, you have no power over any of these people who are streaming with us tonight. Zero power at all in the mighty name of Jesus. Every single one of them are free and free indeed in Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to put the prayer of salvation on the screen so that everybody can be a part of it. Here we go. The prayer of salvation. I want everybody to pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank God that you just prayed that prayer. And now, because you prayed that prayer, you are being filled with the righteousness of God. Because that's what he said he was going to do. You meant that prayer from the depths of your heart. Darkness has left and light has come. Fear has left and faith has come. Naturally, when that goes on, you're aware of that on the inside. On top of it all, he has made you a new creation, and you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. All of that just happened right now as you entered in and prayed that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, for those of you that's with us online, I encourage you to click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you're notified every time we come on here. And you might say, Pastor, you guys sound like a bunch of old folks. I'm just a young guy. Well, Even young guys can come on here and be a part of this and be blessed. There's no age limit to the blessing of God.
Amen.
And we encourage you to come on. And especially we love it when you come on because you got lots of questions and lots of energy that will fire up all the rest of us. And we welcome you to be a part with us. My email address, our contact information will be right there in the comments and the notes of this program. You can send me an email, ask me a question, tell me your story, give us a testimony, ask us to pray. We will do all of the above for you because we love you and we want to help you walk with God every single day. We've got thousands of videos, like literally. We will be glad to share all of them with you. Very open, very much the Word of God. I don't do anything in the Word of God without a whole stack of verses to back it up and document it because it's not about what I say. It's about what does the Word of God say. And we'll help you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen and amen. Now, here we go. Let's receive the communion elements together. Hold them in your hand, and we will pray this prayer and bless these. Now, remember, when you go to church, your pastor will bless the communion element. But God's made you a king and a priest to him. So you bless your element. Don't wait. Don't stand around and wait for somebody else to bless him. You bless him. Ready? Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you.
And all
you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus,
you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And
by your stripes,
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, you endured the cross, despising the shame. And we receive from you tonight in Jesus' name. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. Just say it. I receive.
I receive.
By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with
God,
my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. Say it again. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus. And now, let's sing it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everybody pause for just a minute here. Sister Phyllis. How about we have you read the closing verse while I do what I'm doing?
All righty. Would you like me to do Ephesians tonight?
Yes, ma'am. That would be wonderful.
Well, I like chapter 1, verse 17 through 23. That's a prayer. The Sister Anne's favorite.
Yes, mine too. And yours.
Okay. All right. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. I could go on and on and on because Ephesians is so wonderful. But anyway, thank you for letting me read that.
Thank you, ma'am, for your help. Now, Mr. Tracy posted in there, the fire angels are here. They are. Find that in Psalm 103, verse 20 through 22. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So, when you speak the word, the angels go to work. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. And they're with us right here, purifying us, making us into what we are supposed to be. Father, I pray tonight over every person within the sound of my voice on this day or any day in the future. I pray over every person that has ever come in contact with any of us throughout our lifetime. For all of those that we're supposed to be winning to you, we pray this prayer. Job 33:14. For God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream tonight, in a vision of the night, this night, when deep sleep falls upon them, may they sleep. While they're slumbering on their beds, Father, open the ears of their understanding and seal their instruction in them in order to turn their man from his deed and conceal pride from man. Keep back their souls from the pit and their life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25, his flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his faith with joy, for he, God, restores to man his righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
Now, before we go, Brother Dan, you got anything you got to say? By the Holy Spirit?
I have.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Somebody was saying something about how many days you have been faithful to share the word of God with us. And I checked, and actually, when you consider how many services you have done to the glory of God, you have to add up all of the read the word. That's 356. And then you didn't mention the morning prayer services, which adds up to about 950. That's just Monday through Friday, of course. Okay. And so anyway, I did some addition to it, and that's over 2,500.
Wow. Give him the glory. Because if you was ever...
If you only benefited one person each time...
Yeah, amen. Amen, fellas.
Then you have pleased God. And so I just thought I would mention that to you.
Thank you. And I want to say this. We can't do this without you guys. You guys have been right here alongside us. Now, I know you haven't made every single night, and we didn't make every single night, but here's what's happened.
No, but we have been the beneficiaries.
Well, you might think you're the beneficiary, but I can guarantee you don't realize how much we depend on you to be here and how much strength we draw from you guys' presence. Seriously.
Well, I also want to tell you that my son had his kidney removed. That wasn't working, but it was like over 40 pounds of useless muscle that had grown in his, preventing him from breathing properly. And he is doing well, and the nurses are taking good care of him. He has survived the operation very well. The nurses are taking good care of him. and I will keep you apprised of how well he is doing. I will keep on bragging about how good God is to my family.
Amen. 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 Father, may the doctors all be stunned because
yes.
there's two brand new kidneys growing in Lauren's body in the mighty name of
in
Jesus. We said it at the beginning, and I still say it, and I don't move off it, and I never have moved off it. You are the same yesterday, today, forever. You healed the lame. You restored them to life. And it says the maimed were made whole. And we speak that over Lauren tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we speak life to Rebecca and Phyllis and to Sunday and to
Gwen.
Yes, to Gwen Sweeney. We speak life to you, Gwen. To Sister Kathy Angaroni and Mary Pastorek, we speak life and life more abundantly to every one of you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And her, you don't know this name, but Bryn, she's one of Sister Leanne's grandchildren, bless you now today, Bryn, with supernatural health in your body.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I got to go. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. And the blessing of the Lord. Now, remember, I'm praying for all y'all every night. So go to sleep.
And dream.
And sleep deep. All right, let's try it again. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Sure do love you guys. Let's see. What do we got to do? There we go. Log Talk Radio. I love you guys wherever you are around the world. If you'd like to get this in your native language, we'd like to put it there. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name.